Father, bless these words to our hearts in Jesus' name. Turn with me, please, to Psalms chapter 37. In verse 4, the Word of God says, "Delight yourself in the Lord." Also, delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. Delight yourself in the Lord. How many people have desires in their heart and they want God to give them those desires? And they do not know how it is that God will do things for them. And they say, "God, this is what I would like." But sometimes they find that they don't get those things. Sometimes they do. But the Word of God says, "Delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart." Now, this word delight is an amazing thing. It's the word eneg, and it is to be delicate. Who would have ever thought? It means to be delicate, to take delight. It's used of being fastidious, pampering, feminine as a woman. To be tender or delicate, then to live a life of ease or pleasure. This is what it means to delight. And then the word also means to find delight or pleasure in a thing. And it's talking about responding as a bride. This is why, of all things that the Word of God could have said, it didn't say obey God. In John 6, it says to seek first the kingdom of God. But here it says to delight in it, to be feminine towards God. Be His bride. That's what it's saying. Be His bride. And all that it means, be His bride. Gentlemen, learn to be a bride. And He will give you the desires of your heart. Now, a bride has a heart for her groom. A bride delights in pleasing the groom. This is why it says, "Delight yourself in the Lord." As a bride, delight yourself in Him. That means a young woman, if her groom, if there's something that he likes, he doesn't often say it. He doesn't, if he's a loving man, he will not say it necessarily to her. But he'll say it and make a comment in passing, not thinking anything. "Oh, I like this kind of a thing." And then she is like, she tries to fulfill that because she loves him. She wants to please him. She wants to be pleasing to him. And so she delights in making herself the way that he likes. Delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. She, the young woman, wants to be the desire of his heart. Likewise, we as believers, when we respond to God as a bride, when we have that nature that's responsive and we just look to see, and this will be pleasing to God, and I'm excited because I know that God will be pleased. And maybe I'm not excited, but I simply know that God will be pleased. And so I go in that route, and He says He gives me the desires of my heart. Why does He give me those desires? Because He is the groom. A young man who has a bride is delighted with this young woman. And it is his pleasure, it's his desire to do or to give to her. And so he gives her the desires of her heart as much as he is able. Likewise with God. God has a bride, and when she's delighting herself in Him, it pleases His heart to do what He can to fulfill the desires of her heart. And there you have a perfect union, where you have volition and frame of reference and soul functioning in order, where God is glorified The bride is loved and the groom is pleased. There you have the perfect union. And when we as the body of Christ, as the bride of Christ, live in this kind of a mindset toward the Savior, He'll give us the desires of our heart. It won't only be that He'll give them to Him, He'll be delighted to give them to us. He'll want to do that for us. See, He doesn't do that. A young man doesn't do that for a woman who is not his bride. Oh, he may be kind toward a lady who he's not going to be married to. He may be polite. He may be generous even. He may even be loving in the proper order. But she's not the bride. And though if he can, perhaps he would do for her too. But she's not the bride. But the bride is special in his heart. The bride has a place in his heart that is very fulfilling to him. And likewise with God. God has a certain amount of pleasure. I can't say really fulfillment because God is fulfilled entirely in himself. But in one sense of the word, using it perhaps as an anthropomorphism where we attribute a characteristic of humanity to God to gain understanding, God takes a lot of delight and pleasure and gets fulfillment out of a bride that responds to Him. And in that, He desires with all His heart to give to her all her desires. Delight yourself in the Lord, and He gives you the desires of your heart. In Isaiah 62 and verse 5, in the B part of the verse, as the groom rejoices over the bride, so God rejoices over you. This is the mindset of God toward you. Do you understand this? This is the mindset of God toward you. That just like a groom rejoices over a bride, God rejoices over you. God has delight in the body of Christ, in the bride of Christ. Ladies, when it is time for you to consider who you will be married to, ask yourself, does He delight? Are you His delight? Because if you are not, then He does not have God's approach toward you. Are you His delight? Now, I'm not saying, will He compromise with your flesh? And I'm not saying necessarily, will He even give you all the things you want? And I know the ladies here wouldn't look for that anyway. What I am saying, are you the apple of His eye? Because He is to submit to Christ, and you are to submit to Him as He submits to Christ. So are you the apple of His eye? Or are you simply somebody there that He wants something from? If that is the case, it's not the right man. Be careful, ladies. There is a natural tendency in women to want a man to desire them. That can be a trap. Desire God more than you desire a man to desire you. Because God already does desire you. God is a very real groom. Not like an earthly groom, but He is a very real groom and a very real companion. And He will be the groom that you have for all of eternity. He is a very real groom. As a good groom, He sets up a house. Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you. Well, in Israeli custom, when a young man got engaged, he would go build a house so that he and his bride could live in that house. And frequently his father would help him to build it. And so he would go and prepare a place for his bride. God is like that also. God prepares a place for us because He is a very real groom. And He delights in us, and we are the apple of His eye. Ladies, when you consider a young man, are you the apple of His eye? Does he love you more than God, or God more than you? If he loves you more than God, you will not be the apple of his eye. Because if he loves you more than God, there is something that he wants from you. Be aware of that, ladies. A young man has to have his life in proper order in order to be a good husband. And if he doesn't know how to submit to the Savior, he's not ready to be anybody's husband. Why? Because what will he give to you? Likewise with the Savior. The Savior knows how to initiate, and the Savior knows how to respond. And the Savior knows the desires of your heart, and he longs to give them to you if you delight yourself in him. Psalm 73 and verse 24 says, "You shall guide me with your counsel." This is what it means. This is the practical outworking of delighting yourself in the Lord. "You shall guide me with your counsel, and afterward receive me to glory. Who have I in heaven but you? There is none upon the earth that I desire but you. My flesh and my heart faileth, but God is my strength. But God is the strength of my heart, and my portion forever. For lo, they that are far from you shall perish. You have destroyed all them that go whoring from you. But it is good for me to draw near to God. I have put my trust in the Lord God, that I may declare all your works." When a person delights in someone, they are the only thing in the world that matters. When I delight myself in God, He is the only thing that matters. When I delight myself in God, I say, who do I have on earth but Him? And who do I have in heaven but Him? Do you delight yourself in the Lord? Did you know that you are His bride? Did you know that He chose you? You did not choose Him, but He chose you. Did you know that before the world began, He had a plan for you so that you could get to know His loving kindness toward you? Do you delight yourself in Him? If you do not delight yourself in Him, then you don't really know Him yet. Get to know Him. It's like the old saying that to know Him is to love Him. To know Him is to be loved by Him. And then you will love Him too. Delight yourself in the Lord. Have nothing else, have no one else in the world but Him. And He will add people unto you, and He says He does that. He will add people unto you. He will give people for your life in Isaiah 43:5. He will add those people to you. He won't add a lot of people necessarily. He may really ultimately add just one or two, or a small handful. And these are the people of your life. But He will add those people to you, and they will reflect His nature and His character to you. They will reflect who He is to you, and they will not leave you. And though even if you are separated for a season, for whatever reason, they will still not leave you. They will have the character of God toward you. Delight yourself in Him, and He will give you the desires that you have for your life. The Word of God says that it comes through the guidance of His counsel. So I love the Lord's Word. I love His Word. And I draw near to Him through His Word. I draw near to Him through the body of Christ, through prayer and meditation, through the Bible and through the pulpit. I draw near to God. And in that, He draws near to me. In that, I learn to delight in Him. In that, He gives me the desires of my heart. In Jeremiah 2:32, can a maid forget her ornaments or a bride her attire? Yet my people have forgotten me days without number. And isn't this really the truth even today? That we as believers have forgotten to delight in Him? How often do I run into believers, but the ways of God are not forefront in their minds? Categories of doctrine do not prevail in their thinking. But instead they have a vague Christianity where they try to get a sense, sort of a feeling of how God may want to lead them, or how He's thinking or doing, or how He is, or how am I, and they start doing kind of crazy things like, okay, I'm going to put out a fleece. The only man who put out a fleece was Gideon. That's the only time that God said, put out a fleece. There was no other time when God said to anybody to put out a fleece. But the problem is, they have not learned how to walk with the Holy Spirit, how to live with the Spirit of God, how to hear from Him. And so they try to give themselves these natural solutions that they pull out of the Word and apply as some sort of a strange way of doing things. Well, I'm going to put out a fleece. And even then, they can't really define it. They say, well, if God does this, then I. How about you just respond in faith response? Well, I'm not sure what... Then how about you learn how to hear from Him? Doesn't the Word of God say, my sheep will hear my voice? Isn't that what the Savior said? He didn't say anything about sheep and fleece. Be careful if you want a fleece if you are a sheep. It may turn out to be you. Learn to hear His voice because you delight in Him. Delight in His Word. How can you not delight in His Word if you delight in Him? Isn't His Word that became flesh? Isn't that what it is in John chapter 1? Isn't it the Word that became flesh? People say, I delight in God, but we're getting too much of the Bible here. You know, our ministry's been criticized for that. There's too much of the Bible there. Amen. That's why we used to be called the Bible Speaks, and it still does. Why? Because that's who He is. Delight yourself in the Lord. Get into the Word. People say, I love God, but I don't love His Word. I love you, but I hate the way you think. I mean, that's what they're saying. What do you think, I'm pretty or something? But that's what they're saying. Yeah, she's nodding her head. That's my friend. No, delight yourself in the Lord, and He gives you the desires of His heart. Do not forget your groom. Do not forget your groom. We forget our groom. Do not forget your groom. Seek first the kingdom of God, Matthew 6:33, and all these things are added unto you. How do I seek first this kingdom? By delighting myself in the Lord. It's very simple. If He is my delight, then He is the foremost purpose and thought in my heart. And all these things are added unto me. You know, the world does not make you that offer. The flesh does not make you that offer. How often do people compromise with the world, but the world does not offer you that it will give you all these things? The Savior makes you that promise if you seek first the kingdom. But sometimes people seek first the world and they wonder why all these things haven't been added unto them. And so they start seeking after those things too. And they have a life that goes nowhere with God, and they're never entirely satisfied. It's very simple. Seek first the kingdom of God, and all these things are added unto you. All of them. In Psalm 19, and verse 7, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The word of God is perfect. It transforms your soul. It changes who you are. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. Have you ever seen a believer who withdraws from the word of God, who does not get built up in the word of God on a regular basis every day? Did you know that that person is called simple by God? They're simple-minded. That's what he's saying. That person is simple-minded. But the person who draws near to the Word of God, that person will be made wise. How many people try to establish their wisdom on the basis of their desires or preferences? They are simple-minded. But the Word of God can make you wise. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. When I get right with God, when I do things God's way, it rejoices my heart. So many people are looking for happiness outside of the ways of God, but it tells you how to get it right here. It's the statutes of God that bring joy to the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes, and that's talking about the perception. It gives light to the perception. In other words, the Word of God teaches me how to think about all things. It's categories of doctrine. The fear of the Lord is clear, clean, enduring forever. In other words, the person who fears God is going to be the one who is beginning out, is starting out in wisdom. That's the person who will fear God and run from evil. That person will not embrace the world. That person will say, world, get over where you belong. I want nothing to do with your ways. That is the fear of the Lord. The judgment of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. The finished work is truth and righteousness. That which Christ has done is truth and righteousness. This is what I delight in. The things that God has done. This is what I meditate on. This is what I draw near to. This is what I have as my frame of reference. The things that the Savior has done. More to be desired are they than gold. Yea, much fine gold. Sweeter than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned. And in keeping of them there is great reward. They teach me to live right before God. They teach me to have a life. They teach me how to think. People constantly want to know what to do. And I'll tell you what you need to do. This is what you need to do. One size fits all. Learn how to think. Learn how to think. You won't need anyone to tell you what to do. Learn how to think. Learn how to think with the Word of God and you've got your answers. Simple as that. And the only reason why a situation seems complicated is because you want to mix something in with the Word of God. Simple as that. God made things easy. Should I do it or should I? Is it God's will? Well, no, but I want it. Then it's easy, isn't it? You said, well, no. Well, yeah, but I don't want to. Well, then it's easy, isn't it? You said, well, yeah, it's God's will. That's the end of your story. There it is. There's your decision. Is it right before God or is it not? Well, no, not really, but there's your answer. Yeah, it's right before God, but this is this other thing too. No, there's your answer. Learn how to think and you'll know what to do. Conviction and the Word of God and the Holy Spirit go together. And remember, conviction is not I don't, conviction is I want. Why? Because I have a Holy Spirit who's living in me because I delight myself in the Lord and I know what I want and I want the will of God and God gives me what I want. End of story. Amen?